Happy Easter to you, Chris.
Thank you. I'm working.
Oh, well, I've been working as well. Yeah. Working on my fine figure of a body. with these... Right, I've got a few things to say. I have in my hand here some Cadbury's cream eggs.
Yep.
Issue number one, they've come in a box of 10. Now, who puts eggs in boxes of 10?
I don't know. No one.
Well, nobody. No one. Exactly. You shouldn't be doing it. And this is what happens when you have the Americans involved with things.
Right.
this...
what's wrong this with it being... Sorry, can I just say, what's wrong with it being in a box of 10?
It should be sixes or 12s, shouldn't it,
Right,
eggs?
But they're not actual eggs.
Hmm. Don't know whether I can... not sure about that. I think they are eggs, Chris. just definitely say cream eggs on the side of them.
All right, come on, get on with it.
Number two.
All right.
Right. This egg here has your name on it if you answer all the questions I've got for you in trivia time in this episode.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, now I'm excited.
Now with that, Chris is excited and ready for another edition of...
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
Oh, we've got our own little Easter fun here. Very good. Yes, welcome to Nulpois. This is, of course, is actually a Eurovision podcast. You might not have realised that from Martin's opener. But I am Laura. That is Martin. Sometimes he calls me Cress, but, you know, we'll just have to get past that. We are very close now to the contest. It's, you know, we're so close now that there's almost nothing to talk about because all the news is going to be the contest actually happening. But don't worry, we do have a couple of bits to chat around, particularly the OGAE poll, which is sort of a poll that official fans do of who they want to win and the points they give to them. We're going to come to that in a moment. But as Martin mentioned, it is Easter. And Eurovision, you know, not to be outdone by us, has also joined in the fun.
Yeah, it has, by running the Great Eurovision Egg Hunt 2022.
We all know
it. We all know it.
The Great Eurovision Egg Hunt.
The Great Eurovision Egg Hunt 2022. This is, I'll summarise it.
Please.
It's stupid.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Martin. Yeah, it's basically a bit of silliness they're doing between the 15th of April and the 19th of April. So if you're listening to this on the 20th, you've missed your time. You've missed your place there. Some little competition they're doing where basically you can win a super fan package, Martin. If you go on to... if you've got a super fan package?
No comment.
Don't think you do. And what it is basically, yeah, you go to the website, the official Eurovision shop, you look out for these special eggs they've got around the website, make a note of all the characters, and they can be spelled out to, they spell out a Eurovision related phrase. Can we guess what the phrase could be?
What's the, it could be like the sound of beauty,
yes,
which is the sort of the tagline, tagline for Eurovision this year.
Or it could be possibly take it away, except that was obviously Yono Lassan's a little motto and he's not there anymore. I can't really think. Can you think of many other Eurovision?
Good Evening Europe.
Yes,
Europe
that could
start
be one,
voting.
Yes,
it could be. It could be Duspois or Nulpois, couldn't it?
Imagine
I
if it was Nulpois.
I don't think it would be Nulpois. Because to be fair, people don't actually say Nulpois,
do they?
They do say Duspois, but they don't say Nulpois. I don't know.
No, they don't.
It could be Turin, I suppose. Of those. It could be Rise Like a Phoenix. It could be that.
So there you go. Check out that if you really want to win a superfan package. And you might be thinking, what is a superfan package? Well, it's basically a little tiny little scarf. Very small, miniature scarf, a lanyard holder, a little men. It says men's t-shirt. So if you're a woman, clearly that's it for you. That's it for you. And a little official Eurovision tote bag. So whoop-de-doo, that's what you could win. Happy Easter.
Great. Yeah, wonderful. Moving away from Easter and back to the actual Eurovision Song Contest, because I was watching the Eurovision, sort of Eurovision Twitters, all fans and things getting involved, and the people behind Sam Ryder, the UK's entry, were tweeting the other day and saying that his staging is en route. Now, I didn't really sort of think about this. I mean, it makes sense. They've obviously got to build the staging in whatever country it is, in this case, the UK, or whatever. And then they got to transport it to the venue.
Yes.
And that's what they were showing. They were showing a little, you could track the lorry carrying the staging for Sam Ryder's Spaceman as it was making its way through Europe. So I think it is now in Turin and ready to rock and roll. So I don't know. So what on earth could it be that they've got on those lorries for all the different countries?
We didn't get to see a peek of what he's actually going to be taking
no
with him.
Peak, no, didn't even know how many lorries there were, only that there was some vehicles or a vehicle making its way to Turin.
Very interesting. Well, what kind of helps is there has been a sort of a sneak peek of the Turin stage. RAI, the Italian broadcaster, has shared a little teaser, which you can see if you go on Twitter. They've shared a teaser of how the stage will look, and it's interesting. It kind of works that our song is to do with space, because if you remember, the stage design is called The Sun Within.
Yeah.
So that does kind of work for us a little bit.
I'm looking at the artist's impression of what they've got here, the actual staging. And let me describe it like this. You've got the stage there, and at the back of the stage is what, you know, at Christmas in the 1970s, they used to have Christmas in the 1970s, they used to have oranges with lots of little spikes in them.
Yeah, I totally know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Right? Imagine
the hedgehog that you would put cheese and pineapple in.
That's it. And what they've got on the stage as the backdrop.
Mm, they have. They basically have. And it's also, it sort of revolves around. So that's the kind of sun bit. It's got lots of different arches, which will can turn around and stuff. So there you go. I just want to see now that the staging and what his thing is going to be look like. Because I just think the song really lends itself to doing something quite spectacular.
It does. And I think it's... I'm feeling the tension, right?
I think
it's because it went so wrong last year with the stadium, but the staging was another thing.
Giant trumpets.
Do you remember we had a conversation with somebody who was actually involved in putting that all together? And they said, oh, yeah, you know, it says in the song he's going to light up the room, and my word, Willie... He didn't light up. He just had two big trumpets. I don't understand how they could have lit up the room in any way.
And the fact was, I remember that for the first rehearsal, there was no flames or fire. And that's a song that begs to have fire. They then did add that for the actual final. Oh, dear. We've got a bit of a cough going on there. Martin?
No, I'm all right. I've had a cough for the last week. It's not. I've been testing every day now for the last week. I'm negative. It's not COVID, but... it is just a bad cough, so apologies about that. The song was called Embers. Anyway, look, we're going over old ground here. Forget that.
We are.
Look forward to the future. But it does make me nervous because the song is seemingly doing so well with the bookies.
Well,
a lot of people talking about it. It seems to be doing quite well down with fans in Europe. And you just don't want anything to scupper it. And the staging is somewhere where it could all go wrong for the UK.
But I think they know that. I think they're aware. So let's just see what happens. But talking of it going down well with fans across Europe, let's get a little bit into this OGAE poll, which is basically what fan clubs across Europe, official Eurovision fan clubs, we've got the OGAE UK here, which I'm a member of. And basically, before the staging, it's all about the song. The members of these official Eurovision fan clubs across Europe and as part of Eurovision are asked to give their points basically to who they think the songs they like, and we haven't had all the votes from the official groups yet, but we've had votes from quite a few, so let me just give you a sort of taste of where people are voting. Now obviously this won't necessarily represent the sort of general public vote, because as we're fully aware, general public are very different to super Eurovision fans. We've just completely different mindset, but give you a bit of a flavour as to, you know, what's starting to get listened to a lot. So basically, Bulgaria, OGAE Bulgaria, they gave 12 points to Italy. They gave 10 to Sweden. They also gave 8 to Albania, which I think was quite a high scoring.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, pretty high scoring for Albania. So that was kind of the top three from Bulgaria. We then had Norway, who gave 12 points to Italy again. Sweden got their 10 points. Guess who got their 8 points though, Martin?
Was the UK?
Yeah, Norway. Oh. The official fans from Norway gave United Kingdom 8 points, which I think is a pretty high scoring for the UK. I know obviously this means nothing, but I'm just saying, you know, that bodes well. Italy, by the way, gave France 12 points, gave the UK 10 points.
Oh my word. In fact, when you add it all up so far, the leaderboard looks like this. I might give you the kind of the top 10.
Give us,
so yeah. So it goes Albania, and then joint 8th, Cyprus and Norway.
Yeah.
Poland is at 7th, France is at 6th. The UK at 5th
yeah.
at the moment. Then the Netherlands, Spain, Sweden and Italy on track to win according to this OGAE poll.
Yes. And obviously, again, this is a very small poll. It's only a set amount of people voting for this, a specific type of people. But it's nice to see the UK doing well with Eurovision fans. And these are fans who obviously know the contest really well. So 5th, I think, is a great placing. I'd have to unearth where we were in the 2021 leaderboard, because that might be quite interesting to see. But Italy at the moment in the top. What do you think about that top three then? Italy, Sweden, Spain. I'd say two of those I definitely agree with. One of them not so much.
Which one don't you agree with so much?
I don't agree with... Go on, sorry, what were you going
to
say?
No, I just say, as often is the case, I get confused as to which country did which song. So you're going to have to remind me what the song...
What were they all sound like? Italy was... I'm doing this off the top of my head, by the way, but that's just such the fan that I am. Italy was Mahmood.
No, I remember Italy's Mahmood, yeah.
That's Brividi. Sweden was Cornelia Jacobs.
And Oh, yeah, with closer. The big green orb, yeah.
And Spain was Chanel with Slow-Mo.
Chanel!
Hey, that one.
Chanel!
She's not... Is that supposed to be Scouse?
That was, remember the parrot, the woman chasing, looking for the parrot in her back garden?
Chanel!
Is that...
Where's Chanel gone? No, is that... Sorry, was that a drama or what was...
We talked about this on the podcast. This is a really famous thing. The woman in Liverpool and she's lost her parrot.
But she's not
parrot.
Famous.
Chanel!
I don't know.
Chanel! Where are you, Chanel?
Stop shouting it. No, I don't know what you're on about. I'm sorry. But there you go. That's the top three. I don't agree with Sweden, by the way.
Don't you?
I wouldn't put that second. I prefer Spain over that. I don't know. What do you think? I think it's... I'm baffled as to why it's so high. I'm not saying it is a good song. It is a good song. But to me, it just doesn't have any... I just don't get it. Don't get it.
I'm surprised that Ukraine isn't higher. Is one thing to say. Ukraine in 11th place, actually.
This is where I think... But I think that's because, I'll be honest, the song itself is fine. It's, you know, it's good. It's not...
I'm not even... Personally, it doesn't do it for me, the song.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that really Ukraine could kind of do anything. And I've actually spoken to a number of people who have heard the Ukraine song who aren't Eurovision fans or particular Eurovision fans who said... Oh, Ukraine, brilliant. Love that. Love the flute.
Yes, the sort of traditional... I don't think it is a flute. I think it's some kind of traditional Ukrainian... I was going to say weapon there, but a traditional Ukrainian musical instrument.
They'll be using it as a weapon, the weapon of music and
song. Yeah, to fight their way
song.
To the top.
Mm.
But yeah, it is, yeah. But I... Because I think I remember them using that in a previous song as well. But I think it's a fun song. I don't think it's the best song of this year. And I think if they didn't have this situation, they probably wouldn't have fared quite as well with it. But it is still a fun song. It's, you know, people will give it a couple of votes because of the song, but also because of the situation. But am I surprised to not see it at the top of the OGAE poll? Not really, because I think there are better songs out there. And remember, this poll isn't going to do anything for the country to win. So they're just voting on the actual quality rather than, oh, well, I want Ukraine to win because of the situation they've been in. Do you want to know? I've just got the poll, the final result. Now, remember, we don't have the final result for 2022 yet, but 2021, do you want to know where UK came in?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, we were 25, but then there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 that drew 30th. So we're actually not that far off the bottom.
Okay, right. Not great. Not great no. news. But perhaps better for the UK this year, and maybe for some of the other countries as well that we've mentioned, and Sweden. And could it be that Italy was topping the top of this, this fan poll? Excuse me. This is going to keep happening. I'm so sorry. Could it be that Italy could be the first country in a long, long, long time to do the double and to win two times on the trot?
Very exciting. I've just counted, I think it's 40 that gave their that polled last year. So there you go, 40 countries, and UK was 25th. Last year, the one that won was Malta, actually, Destiny, who didn't do as well as we all thought. So there you go, maybe it's all a load of rubbish.
Oh, well, it wouldn't surprise me if it was. Cress, hello. Are you ready to potentially win yourself?
Oh, yes, I am.
A Cadbury's cream egg.
I probably won't, but yes.
Here it comes in this edition of Trivia Time.
Okay, I don't think I'm going to get this, but let's go for it.
No, Cress, I think you are, because what I've been thinking recently is that we do a lot of trivia on here that maybe is quite niche trivia, but maybe you're just looking to know a lot of information so that you can impress people at a Eurovision party. You might be planning one at the moment as the contest nears. And so I've put together the ultimate Eurovision trivia quiz for you to look cool at your Eurovision party. And this is the speed round edition, so just see how many of these you can get right. And if you get them all right,
I'm not going to get them all right.
If you get them all right, you get yourself a cream egg. Right, here we go. Are you ready for this? And I'm not really sure how many questions there are. Maybe I'll do 10. We'll see how we get on.
Okay,
here we go. Your time starts now. Which country hosted the first ever Eurovision Song Contest in 1956?
Switzerland.
You are correct. Which Irish performer is the only person to win Eurovision three times, twice as a singer and once as a songwriter?
Johnny Logan.
How many, well done, how many times has the UK won Eurovision?
Five.
Five times is correct. Which dance troupe shot to fame after providing the interval entertainment in 1994?
Riverdance.
Riverdance is right. What is the name of the iconic Austrian act who won in 2014 with the song
Conchita Wurst?
Like a Phoenix.
Conchita Wurst.
Very good. ABBA won Eurovision in 1974 with which song?
Waterloo.
Yeah, of course. This is going very well. I told you you're going to do well. Which non-European country joined the contest in 2015?
Oh, Australia.
Of course. Which Canadian superstar won Eurovision in 1988 representing Switzerland?
Celine Dion.
Yes.
Celine Dion or Dion.
Very good. Hard rock band Lordi secured a surprise victory for which country in 2006?
Finland.
And one more for your 10.
Oh,
which
no.
twins? You'll get it from just that. Who found
Jed
fame
Wood.
On the X? Very good. Twice represented Ireland at Eurovision. Cress wins herself a Cadbury's cream egg.
Oh, I'm happy about that, because I will say this, and actually there's a comment we had which will relate to this as well when we get onto our correspondence, but I always feel, and I'm sure you feel a bit the same, Martin, that people see you as this Eurovision fan, because obviously we do a podcast and we do go to Eurovision every year if we can. So people sort of see you as this person, this font of knowledge. But the thing is with me is my memory isn't that good, and I'm not the best person with like things like dates and sort of stats and things like that. So people would be like, oh yeah, you'll probably know this, who won in this year, and I'd be like, I don't actually know.
I don't know, you'd have to look it up. Well, you've proved yourself wrong there on that edition of Trivia Time.
There you go. So I feel pleased, because I was like, oh, it's going to be something that I should know as a fan, and I don't know. So I actually feel that you give me a little boost there, Martin. I feel quite pleased. So when's the egg coming over, by the way?
I don't know. I'll maybe give you the egg at an airport somewhere at some point.
That sounds very dodgy. I'm guessing you mean when we go to Turin, not just like as some kind of covert.
There's loads of other questions as well. I might do this again another time, because there's loads of great questions.
It's great fun because I got them.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, I think because you and I are the same, right? We're Eurovision fans, but we say this on the podcast all the time. We don't know everything there is to know about Eurovision, but I think we may surprise ourselves with actually how much we've absorbed by osmosis.
This is the thing. Maybe we do know. I think my issue is more just like modern stuff where people are like, oh yeah, who won in sort of 2005 or something like that. I would have to have a think about that. I don't think off the top of my, I couldn't just say like I did with, oh, ABBA obviously won with Waterloo. Like that's a fact that I feel like everyone who likes Eurovision should know, but maybe not. I don't know.
There we go. All right, moving on to correspondence now.
Yes.
And I'm a little disappointed, I have to say, because I was expecting a lot more Prosecco.
Yes, now come on, everybody. What are you up to here? Maybe this is more just the fact that there isn't any available, but we gave you a challenge last week saying, can you find this official Eurovision Prosecco? There's a picture of it on our Instagram if you want to see what it looks like. It's up there. No one has got back with a picture yet.
That's a real, real shame. It's almost a shame. As if the whole thing is an old load of old bollocks.
Yes, who'd have thought that from the EBU? But there you go. They're out there somewhere. I feel like, Martin, we've got to find them somewhere when we're in Turin, because surely that's the place where it will be.
You would have thought that they'd cram all of the Prosecco into Turin, yeah. Just flood Turin with Prosecco. And that's okay. It's fine by me, thank you so much for all your comments. And it's great that you've got in touch. Thank you for giving us a rating as well on the whatever you use to listen to the podcast, because there's been a few of those come in. And I'm delighted to say that a lot of them have been given a sort of top starage.
Yes, which is very nice. And thank you very much. No thanks to the one person who didn't, but everyone else has been very lovely about it. And obviously, you know, do what you like, but you know, if you do like it, give us a top scoring. Thank you very much to this person. No idea who this person is, which is always quite exciting. PMJMCR saying, such a cheery podcast from a couple of fans with great chemistry, refreshing to hear honest opinions, and whilst they admit to not knowing everything, it's delivered with such charisma that you forget about that and just enjoy the banter. And genuinely, what a lovely comment. Thank you so much, whoever did that. Because I think it is true. We do admit to not knowing everything about the podcast, even though we have to, don't we?
Yeah, because we'd be called out immediately.
But the thing is, we're not intentionally, you know, saying things wrong. We do really genuinely want to learn, and we are trying to learn. And maybe that quiz shows that we are learning a little bit. So we always welcome, you know, people pulling us up on things, because we are trying to learn about it. We're not the super fans, but hopefully that shows that, you know, you're still enjoying our sort of random chats about whatever we're going on about.
And we rely on you very often to tell us things. And if you want to, pull us up.
He's
on...
He's talking to you.
Yes, yeah. If you want to pull us up on something in a friendly way, do it. We're happy for that. And if you want to tell us something that we didn't know, the chances are we won't know it.
Yes.
So tell us. And you can share it with the podcast community and the people who listen to Norpois. And all of us together can learn this trivia and this fun about this TV show that we really enjoy. And that's what it's all about.
It is. Can I tell them how they can do that?
Well, I was going to ask you to, but yes, do it.
Great. Well, on Twitter, we're...
What chemistry we've got.
Such great chemistry. Look, loads of people mentioned the chemistry, Martin, so there you go. At Poinul is Twitter. Instagram is NullPoirPodcast. If you want to send us an email, it's NullPoirPodcast@gmail.com. We do read them all, so do get in touch. I guess at the moment, if you'd still be interested in hearing your top threes. Do you agree with the OGAE, how they voted with Italy, Sweden, and then Spain? What are you up to for Easter? Have you found any Eurovision Prosecco? We want to know all these things.
Absolutely. And if you want to play a game where we ask you a load of Eurovision questions... Just thinking up a feature on the spot here.
Oh.
Then why not just get in touch and have a go?
We will have to check the questions, I think, before Martin, because there is a date. I can see what's going to happen is that Martin will ask a question.
Yeah, I can see that happening as well. But I think this is a bridge that we can cross.
We can cross it, yeah.
I'm going to make it happen. Right. Thank you so much for your continued support. Thank you for listening to this edition of the podcast. Going to be back next time as we get closer and closer to the big moment and the Eurovision Song Contest happening officially. Cannot wait for that. We're going to join you again with all the build-up, all the analysis, all the conversation on the next edition of
Norpois.
Cool question for you, Chris. How do you eat your cream egg?
I nibble off the top and then I lick the insides.
Right.